Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
My touchstones, right? Like, yeah. I'm all nervous, and I'm like, I know what will help me feel not nervous. An anglerfish hat. Absolutely. This is what I need. This needs to be on my altar today. And so, welcome. It did sound like you said 5-minute break. Are we doing a 5-minute break or no 5-minute break? We do. We usually do. Feel free. You can still get that coffee. I know you want some. There's donuts back there. Everyone grab a donut. Again, you know what I say. I am not bringing those donuts home. So it's on you. We take this as a team right here. I love it. I'm starting it off with a little bit of a statement of who I am. I am a gardener. These are all things on my altar. I am silly. I love caring for companions from before, and I love taking care of my companions now. I love shows that show depth in all of their silliness. I am a poet and a painter. I want to be, when I grow up, the Miss Frizzle to all of our youngest neighbors downstairs. And I always want to rock a fantastic pair of obnoxiously large earrings. And I am Rebecca. That's who I am. It's parts of me. And I am one of the pastors here. And I'm so happy you stepped into the air conditioning today, took a little break from the UV rays of a gorgeous Duluth summer sun, and joined us today to talk about fun. I feel like we should probably have like a food truck fair or something outside. Like, we're all here. Great. Break. Now go have fun. But Pastor Chris told me that I should probably actually also talk about our value of fun, which is good. It's good. It's one of our values here, which I like. Growing up in a church that really focused a lot on dogma, it's fun to focus on something as broad as values, right? And one of the values that I love most of just because of who I am, is our value of fun. Fun looks different for everyone. Me walking around a party in an anglerfish hat is so fun. Absolutely fun. I want to do that. I want to be dressed in head-to-toe orange, doing some just big dance moves because I don't have any on a corner to sell Girl Scout cookies for your kid. You don't want to be there, but I want to be there. I want an excuse to stand on that corner and hawk Girl Scout cookies. I don't want to actually take money from people because that feels a little nerve-wracking to me, but I will be the silly person on the side of the corner. Absolutely, 100%. Part of that comes from a grandfather of mine who was the biggest 8-year-old you had ever met. One of my favorite stories about him is on Halloween when there would be, you know, 6-foot-tall kids coming to the door to trick-or-treat. He'd open the door and he'd take a look at all of these kids. He was a shorter man. And they'd say, you know, trick or treat, you know. And he would look at them and go, trick, and grab their bags of candy, shut the door, and immediately shut off the light. And he would just sit and laugh. He'd just chuckle. And you'd hear the guys all, dude, that old man just took your candy. You know, and whoa, and they're laughing out there. They don't know what to do. Like, do you knock on the door? Do you just walk away? What do? You've worked for an hour or two to get this candy, right? And he'd open up the door and, you know, and head, here you go, you know, whose bag is whose? And, you know, you're kind of a little bit old to do this, but I'm really happy you're out here doing this. And don't cause too much trouble. And that was his way of connecting with people. It was fun. He was great. He was a little scary at like county fairs. Ferris wheels, right? Going up and down. He would wait. We would load into the Ferris wheel. We would get just about out of arm's length from the carnival worker. And he would start rocking. He just rock. That thing loads, right? It's a slow process. So we'd have minutes, just rocking back and forth. And you could see the people down at the bottom of the ride trying to warn us. He didn't care. He just sat there and laughed, right? And then we'd come back on the downside, and as just about when he gets about hands right, he'd stop rocking. And we'd come in, they'd go, no, please, sir, we can't do that. We just, it's not safe. And he would go up again, and we would start rocking. That worked, and it was fun, and it was great, until I was at the Anoka County Fair, and a bolt shot out the side of it and hit me in the leg. I started instantaneously screaming and crying. He didn't know what was going on. He just thought it was fun. He laughed even harder. It was fantastic. He loved breaking rules. It was his way of inserting chaos in a world where everything in life felt pretty prescribed, right? You grow up, you find a partner, you buy a house, you maybe have some kids, you work at the same job, in his case, for his entire life, and that's it. You have the same five friends that you had in high school. You carry them all the way through life with you until they die off one by one, and that's life. And he didn't try to change that story, but he tried to insert fun in that story, in a stream of life that he didn't feel like he really had the ability to get out of. That was him. Yesterday, Richard Simmons passed away. Sparkle. Shorts far too short, right? Far too much energy. There's something, like him or not, there's something where you go, huh, he had the courage to step out and do him. That's pretty cool. I'd like for all of us to take a minute or two, okay? I'm going to ask us to close our eyes. And here's why I want us to do this, is because I want us to get in touch with our actual physical bodies, okay? So like Nikki said, I want to take a moment to ground ourselves. So I want us to all close our eyes or find a soft focus somewhere, get comfortable in our seats. And I'm going to ask that we take a breath in, and we take a breath out. Breathe on your own time. But I want you to physically feel where your body is right now. The seat underneath you, the clothes on your body. Maybe you have a little bit of physical pain or emotional weight that's causing a tightness, a swirling feeling, the start of a headache. I want you to physically feel the sensations that your body is giving you right now. And now I want you to think about the person you know that has the best darn laugh. I want you to think of that person and their laugh in a way that makes you almost hear their laughter. Maybe you're remembering the last time you were there with them, belly laughing till you were unable to breathe. Maybe you remember wiping the tears from your eyes as you just had fun. Maybe it's your partner that's curled up in bed with you and you tuck their hair behind their ear. I want you to remember that moment of joy, that moment of fun, that moment of laughter, and ask yourself, where does joy live in my body? Perhaps in thinking about it, maybe you can feel it somewhere in your body. Maybe it's a lightness in the chest. For me, it's fizziness in the corners of my eyes and a light smile the tongue of my mouth drops, and I feel relaxed. I want you to picture yourself there with that person. And commit to that person in your mind right now that you are going to embrace a life of fun. Make a promise to yourself in that moment. Feel the seat beneath you again. Take another few breaths. And feel free to join us back in this space. When I sit and think about myself, it's really easy to think of the things that I am. And too often, those things are tied to responsibilities. We all have them, right? And for some of us, the way that our brains are wired, it's harder to do the things that we have to do. Harder to make the phone calls, do the self-care, to remember the schedule, and to take care of all of the things we have to. And for a lot of us, that ends up eating up our time. For others of us, we were told from knee high on up that we had to earn our rest. We had to earn our fun. We had to do the homework to be able to go outside. We had to do the chores, to do the things. And no, mind you, there's responsibility to that. I'm not shaming anyone for having to set rules of what needs to be done, but there's a certain message that we have to be careful not to give, and that's you are unworthy of rest. You are unworthy of love unless you perform. That is not the case. When I take a look at the Bible, I see Jesus, right? Jesus knew when to expand the circle and when to contract. He wasn't out feeding 5,000 every day. He wasn't alone in his prayer garden, sitting, taking on the weight of the world on his knees. He was able to meet God in himself, by himself. He was able to meet God with his selected few, with his family, with his community, with the world that showed up on his front step asking, tell us more. Tell us more. There's a breath to life. And sometimes, unfortunately, we get so caught in the cycle of doing that when we have a moment of break, we don't know what to do. The way that my ADHD-ish brain goes is if I've got 8 hours of time, I have no idea what to do. I could go get a tattoo. I could go grocery shopping. Either one of them are completely on the table. Am I going to do the email? I mean, like, maybe if somebody is like pushing me towards the email, but it could be absolutely anything. And I am paralyzed to figure out what I actually want to do. And so it's easy, right? It's easy, just like when we go ice cream shopping, right? There's 1,000 different flavors. We go to the one that we all know we like, right? Even Ben and Jerry's, we're like, oh, Cherry Garcia, or whatever, right? We're like, ooh, this is what, because we know it works. And we have so little time to enjoy life sometimes that we don't want to take our one chance of enjoyment and fun and waste it on a Superman ice cream cone when, gah, who wanted Superman ice cream anyways? It tastes like Fruit Loops. It's awful. Don't do it. Bad choice. Don't do it. But I'm serious. We go through, because we know it's the easy answer, but what it does and what we don't always realize is we become that. It becomes this thing we can't escape. If you picture your people who you're surrounding yourself with, and they're around you in a big circle, and they've got their arms, if you move, if they move with you, you're protected. You're surrounded by love. If they don't move with you, what is that? It's a cage. It's a fence. We're stuck. The people surrounding us is not the problem. It's whether there's movement there or not. Are we exhibiting movement in our own lives? Oftentimes, we have things, health goals, right? Do we have fun goals? If fun is a value, if it is part of what it means to be a human, then we need to have some intentionality set behind it. One of our values is purpose. We need to be purposeful in our fun. One of our values is health. You can Google right now, Siri, what are the health benefits of you? Up and down your scroll of all of the benefits of fun. You can do that. There's barriers to fun. I get it. Whatever that looks like to you. Maybe you are a cribbage person and that is all you want to do. Maybe you just want to sit outside in your garden and write poetry. Perfect. I am not here to yuck your yum. But I will say this. If the thing you've been enjoying is the only thing you've been enjoying for the last however long, shake it up. Nothing in this world stays the same. Your fun should not stay the same. The other week, I play Magic the Gathering, which is super nerdy. Do I like it? Absolutely not. It's like taxes. It's like we had a good and simple life. We sit out in the sun. We eat blueberries. We hunt an elk every now and then. And then somebody was like, let's make life complicated. Yeah, let's do that. Magic the Gathering is one of the most complicated games. And they all just talk to you like it's easy. Oh, just read the card. Just do what the card says. I have been learning and failing at that game for almost 2 years now. It's great. I love it because I love a good challenge that I'll never win, right? But I win occasionally, but my friends get together every Wednesday and do it. Do I like it? Yeah, a hit or miss. But you know what I love? I love being in that room, seeing their eyes sparkle. That's the only reason why I started learning the dumb game. It's because I love seeing them fully embrace something so gall darn nerdy that brings them utter joy. We all know we have partners at home that we're having issues with. We all know that we've got bills to pay. We all know that there's a lot of dumpster fires in this world right now, right? But I know I can tap a magic card for 2 mana and throw down a Leviathan card and get what it's dumb. And it's beautiful because we're there eating awful amounts of snacks, staying up far too late, rebelling against the world. This world that took away front porches and gave us backyards. This world that puts us in cubicles. This world that tells us that be scared of others. This world that gives us tight deadlines that we have to do and have to do and have to do. And we have to make sure all those things are done before we do anything fun. We get together and we rebel. I am an adult. I can stay up late. And last week, I rebelled by telling them I wasn't going to play Magic, and I offered to play Illamat instead, and two of my friends joined me, and it was fabulous. It was great. When we look at Jesus and Christ and what that message is about. We're not seeing somebody charging in and taking over power. We see that change happens internally first and in our circles, in our community. I can't control what's happening outside in this world, but I can control that on Tuesday nights, I have a date night with at least one friend. And if that means you're coming over to my house so I can fold laundry while you answer emails, that's a date night. Because we say it is. Because we're here. We see each other. We have connection. My friend Tyler is a theater director. He is a son of a theater director. The whole family is theater people. If you've ever met a fun family, it's a fun theater family. It is pandemonium at all costs. And his mother has a very set standing rule that if you try out for one of her shows, you get in. Doesn't matter who you are. If they're doing Beauty and the Beast, fine. You've never done this. You are gargoyle number 17. Whatever. We will make a spot for you because they understand the magic, the fun, the play that you bring to that space changes everything. Tyler took it a step further and created a few zany shows. One of them, which was, this does not move very easily. I'm just going to go like this. This is awkward. You know you like it. He had a New Year's Eve show about Russian cosmonauts. And it was like a variety show. There was some juggling. There was some clowning. There was a few that people did countdowns in Russian from 10 to 1. They toasted with vodka or water, pickles, whatever they had going on at that moment. And it was sheer pandemonium. The audience was asked to participate. And one of the ways that they participated was on the stage, there was a stick with a sign on it that said dance and a button. It was not fully explained, but it was fully understood that at any point, anyone from the audience or on stage could run up, hit that dance button, the lights would go down, party lights would go up, house music would start blaring, people would bum rush the stage, and for what, 38 seconds, we would have an impromptu dance party. All the introverts in the crowd are like, oh my God, that sounds awful. I was like, sign me up! I want to do this every day! I want to live my entire life with a dance button at any point where people can be like, doot, 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 doot. Absolutely. Absolutely. Tenfold. But he gave the opportunity. I was there at shows when no one hit it. I was there for shows when it was almost a little bit too much. People would be in the middle of a monologue. The dance button got hit. Sheer chaos for about a minute. People, lights would go back up. Music would screech. Lights would come back up. Everyone would run to their seats. And the actor would just have to pretend like nothing happened and go on with the show. It was great. The opportunity was there. What we have to have, give ourselves and give others, is the freedom to push the button. That's what we need. And so today, I don't know where your relationship is with fun. Some of us are burnt out. Some of us are maybe rediscovering fun for the first time in a while. I'm working on painting. That's currently what I'm doing. I'm working on poetry. That's currently what I'm doing. I'm refinding my love for gardening. And carving out intentional time with friends. My love of reading has taken a shelf for right now. For a while, I was in Bible studies multiple times a week. I don't have that space right now. And that's okay. I am choosing the fun that I am sowing into my life. And so I ask and encourage you guys to sow the seeds of fun in your life. Some of them are going to hit. Maybe you are the next world glass blower. You won't know if you don't try. You might actually enjoy hiking or running. Or maybe you don't like those, but you like it when you're doing it with a friend. Or like I saw the other day, it was a night hike with glow sticks with people in costumes blaring music. Mind you, being a squirrel in the woods that night is going to be very confusing, right? But maybe that's what you like for hiking. Just because something doesn't fit immediately, I encourage you to meet it with curiosity. Because we get one chance at this life. We get one chance. And we all know the older we get, time moves faster. And before you know it, we will look back on our lives and go, God, I love cribbage. When was the last time I played a game of cribbage with someone I cared about? And that answer is going to be shockingly too far. So, I ask us to recall in our mind the you that you pictured at the start, the person that you were sitting next to with the great laugh. I'd like for us to make a promise to that version of us that when we leave here today, we will meet life with curiosity and find the fun that fits the us we are now. That we try new things. That we look for the dance buttons in life. The opportunities that are there just to be silly. And here's why it matters. Ending on this serious note. And I'm going to do that because I can choose to do what I want. Anyways, if you were to show up today, and we could physically see that you were not taking care of yourself. There are people in this room that would want to reach out for you and care for you. If how much we gave ourselves rest and play and fun and silliness and laughter was visible on our body right now, would we be concerned about you? That's why we're in community. We're not codependent. It's not my responsibility to change everything for you. My space, my calling is to provide the dance button. To say you are free to be your messiest, beautiful, most complicated, silly person that you are, and I fully embrace that, and how do I give you even more freedom to do that? Because I value your health, I value your love, I value your fun, and I'm doing this intentionally with purpose because I care. Because that's what it means. So, in closing, I'd like to say a prayer. And then we're going to get out of here because it's beautiful outside. Heavenly Father, Earthly Mother, thank you for infusing fun into this world. Jesus, after you were risen, you met your friends on a beach and told them to haul up a net's worth of fish into their boat, and you sat on the beach and had brunch with them. You had brunch on the beach with your peeps in the sun, talking and laughing, feeling the wind on your skin and the sand beneath your feet, and embracing the people that you loved most. Let us inspire that. Be inspired by that. May we use our time here, our precious time, to insert fun, insert chaos, to love those closest to us, to rebel against the things that tell us not to rest. And may we be encouraged to give other people that freedom too. Amen. And please take donuts. You need to give some donuts to people you love today. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We appreciate your time.